What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. Y'all, we are about to get our week started off so great together because I have a good friend on. Her name is Joy, and I've actually known her for a pretty long time, but we just actually got to know each other here really this week. And I'll tell you how this happened, and it's so beautiful. My teammates were meeting with Joy because she's going to help out some with the LO Sister Conference, and they called me after and said, Sadie, you've got to have Joy on the podcast. Like, her story is so amazing. She's so inspiring. She is like mentored us essentially while we sat there with her and met about conference. And I was like, what in the world? Like, I know her, but we've never had a conversation. So I said, look, I'd love that, but I don't know her story. So see if she would go to coffee with me and then we'll talk about it. So we went to coffee and I literally called Steph after and goes, she has to be on the podcast like ASAP. And so we have planned for today. And that was just a couple of days ago that we had coffee and fell in love with who you are and your story. And I'm so thankful that you're on the podcast today. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And thanks to your team. They're amazing. But
they are.
It was a really good conversation with them as well. And I'm inspired by all of you and your work. And I think that, you know, any of our stories that we have can help somebody else who's gone through something similar or can be relatable. So
it's
if
true.
I can help in that way, I would love to.
Well, I know she's going to, and I know it's going to inspire you. But I will say before we even start, you are not used to doing a ton of podcasts, are you?
No, like one.
One.
I've done one. I think I cried the whole time. So
that's okay.
I'm good today, though. I don't think I'll cry.
Well, I wouldn't say that. People get on this couch and the tears come. But no, I love that you're doing this because I know it can be hard to step outside of your comfort zone, especially share something like your story. But first, we'll just start with people getting to know who you are and what you and your husband do, because that's how I got to know you guys. So what are you guys up to right now?
Well, we currently own, I guess the easiest way to say it is, you know, Bayou Joy LLC. And so we have all of our short-term rentals under that, umbrella. And our flagship short-term rental or Airbnb was Bayou Longbeard, which we created back in 2018. And, well, I guess we started in 2017. And it went live on Airbnb 2018, 2 days after we got married. So it's kind of our baby. We actually don't have children of our own. I have three from a previous marriage, and Clay had never been married. So we got married March 10th of 2018. We went live with Longbeard, not really knowing that it was going to take off and do as well as it has done. You know, Clay's parents had the space where his grandparents had lived, and once they passed away, you know, they were like, what are we going to do with this space? And Clay said, you guys should Airbnb it. Like, I'm going to go back to Nashville. I think God just...
Before y'all were dating, or were y'all dating whenever that happened?
So it's, we probably should write a book so we can put all the details in it. But really what happened is Clay and I, we dated in high school. So we've been friends since we were 15 and 16. And we've just been friends all these years. And then we graduated high school and went our separate ways. I got married at 19, had three children. I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. Clay randomly got into the music industry and has traveled the world for 25, 30 years with some really incredible people. And he says he can't believe it's a job. But long story short is Clay's grandfather passed away in 2016, and he came home for the funeral. And so it wasn't uncommon for Clay to ask me if I wanted to go to lunch or dinner, or maybe a group of our friends from here. A lot of times we would meet up at Johnny's Pizza because, you know, if you live away and
you
come home.
If you know, you know.
That's right.
Johnny's Pizza.
That's right. So we actually went to Dax that day for a Sunday lunch after church. And it was two of my children, one of their friends, and me and Clay, and we're just catching up. It felt very different that time. And after a 6-hour lunch there, we ended up at Clay's parents' house, and we were sitting in the space talking about, like, what did they want to do with that space, you know? And I mean, I literally like entered the chat like day of.
Wow.
You know, they had just buried his grandfather the day before. So it was all very fresh. But, you know, Clay said, y'all should Airbnb it. We weren't dating at the time, but the next day, he said, I want to see you again before I leave town. And I said, well, you know, the kids are going to have friends over, so you'll have to come there. We can hang out, you know, on the porch or whatever. So I remember the conversation. It did feel different, but I had no idea that he was going to ask me if I wanted to date, you know, and I was just like, sure, we can date, but I'm never going to get married again. He always jokes, because he made a joke that night. He said, that's fine, I'll change my last name. And it kind of just, you know, I feel like I don't have a lot of blonde moments, but it went over my head. Like, I really never thought that I would get married again, especially, you know, not to Clay Casey. But we took a walk, and things just went for a turn. So we did start dating, I guess, really that day. But he went back to Nashville, and, you know, as a busy single mom working full time and him traveling, you know, I thought this could work, you know, because also in his past, like, relationships really hadn't turned out, because when somebody's on the road for, you know, months at a time, it's hard to maintain a relationship with somebody. And he said he always had a great life, and so he didn't want, you know, anything or anybody to mess it up. So he was, he was good with where he was.
You know, it's funny, because whenever you were telling me that story the whole time, I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, y'all dated in high school. And then you were telling me about that walk and about him asking you to be, you know, I guess he said it like, do you want to start dating? And I was like, oh, and you're like, yeah, but it's actually like awkward to start dating at your age. Like, you were saying that. And I think that, you know, we have a lot of mom listeners. We have a lot of, like, we have all age listeners, like, truly. We talk a lot to people my age, because I am my age. And so you naturally talk about that. But we have all age listeners. And so I just wanted to say that, because I thought that that was just like an interesting part of your story, where you were just acknowledging that, like, yes, it's sweet, but it wasn't like butterflies and rainbows. I was like, okay, we can date, but I'm not going to get married. Yeah. Like, you had kind of been in this time where you had gone through a divorce, and you're like, it's not really what I'm looking for. But I have to say, just for the Airbnbs that they have. So this is kind of how I got to know you guys. Aside from Clay and I ran into a lot of the same circles and worlds, because a lot of the people that he worked for on tours and different things, people that I know and got to do things with. And so Clay and I definitely had a lot of connections, but y'all's Airbnbs, like, we got to stay there. We fell in love with them. We think they're so amazing. It was kind of like an oasis for Christian and I. So many people that we know have stayed there after, you know, they got married, and just like significant moments in people's lives. And they've just been so awesome. But another thing about you guys is just y'all's love for our community, and how you've taken like what y'all have with these spaces, and you've made them to be these like truly like little havens, which actually I wrote in your book at your Airbnb when I stayed there, and then named our daughter Haven. And you reminded me of that.
I ran across that note, and I texted you, and I was like, did you even know you were going to name your child Haven when you wrote, this is a haven for us?
Not at all.
I thought that was really cool.
Not at all. And it was a haven. And that's like one of the things when I named Haven, like, that word is very special to me. I don't use that word often. And that was like a haven for us. Y'all's hospitality. And when I stepped in there, it was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And what I love especially about it is it's in Monroe, Louisiana, which a lot of people don't associate with beautiful things. They're like an amazing place to stay, or an incredible experience, which is something we're trying to change, something we're working hard at. It's one of the reasons we have our conference here. We want to revive the city as we're spiritually revived. You know, we want to see that revival happen. We want to host people well. We love where we live. It's shaped us. It's molded us. It's been a beautiful place for us. But a lot of people in this town don't see it like that. You know, you even talked about you didn't see it like that before you started dating Clay and y'all were doing this. And I think so many people listening to this, you might be like, oh, I want to move to Nashville. I want to move to LA. I want to move to New York. I want to move to the big city. I want to do the cool thing. But like, what I think is so special about y'all's story is like, y'all did the cool thing where y'all are at. And y'all made it cool because y'all are cool people and brought your uniqueness to it. So inspiring. I love it. But on the note of making something in the middle of Monroe a haven, which is something that I think you have to put intentionality behind to do, tell me a little bit about just that love for hospitality and bringing that into creating the spaces you guys have created. You know, I'm starting to think that pretty much everyone's schedule is busy, no matter what season of your life you're in, whether you have a toddler and a baby like me, or you're in college, or wherever you're at. Things are just busy, and sometimes our schedules can get in the way of our time with the Lord, but thankfully, the Dwell Bible app makes it super easy to listen to God's Word read by people who love the Bible just as much as you do. There's never been a more customizable audio Bible with over 20 different voices to choose from. Soothing music and calm sounds enhance the listening experience, and you can choose from your own background music and audio speed so that it's just right for you. Dwell has tons of options like theme playlists, stories, and key passages, or you can choose a listening plan to help you stay on track with your spiritual walk in whatever way fits you best. Dwell's latest release, Dwell Daily, gives you a fresh, thoughtfully crafted devotional every day to help you immerse yourself in the Word through prayer and meditation and so much more. And if you're looking to deepen your engagement with Scripture, then Dwell Daily is definitely worth checking out. I personally love listening to things I learn. I think maybe even in some ways the best whenever I'm listening to things. I like to listen to audiobooks. I like to listen to music, obviously, and I definitely like to listen to Scripture being read. I think that sometimes just without the distraction of everything, when you're taking it in and listening, it helps so much. And so this is a great thing for you. If you have a hard time getting into the Word, just let someone read it over you. It's a great thing to do in your car when you're going to and from work. It's a great way to get in the Word. So listen to God's Word effortlessly using Dwell. Go to dwellbible.com/woe to receive your 25% off discount today. Again, that's dwellbible.com/woe for your 25% discount that you can get today. Go check it out, friends.
Yeah, so interesting enough, when Clay left after we started dating, and he left and went back to Nashville, it was like a few weeks later, he said, "I'd love to fly you to Nashville, show you around the city I've lived in for so long." It's so funny because I was like, "You want me to fly on an airplane, like alone?" Because I had flown once in my life. But wow. The long story short of that was I spent a few days there. And then we actually had a road trip back to Monroe for Thanksgiving with our families. But I vividly remember leaving Nashville and telling Clay that I feel like I'm the least creative person. What? On the face of this earth. Yeah, I didn't tell you that the other day. There's just not enough time for all these details. But I did, because I just remember everywhere that we went in Nashville, whether it was a restaurant or a concert or someone's home, like people are creating there, whether it's art or food or music, you know, murals are everywhere. And I just didn't think that I could create. Like I guess I didn't feel like I had an outlet, or I didn't even think about the fact that I didn't have an outlet or maybe resources or whatever. But I think really what it was is it's in there. And then you have somebody that gets behind you and champions you to do those things. And so I remember him saying, "Yes, you do. Like, you take great pictures, or, you know, you can do any of this stuff. Like, you're amazing." And that's how our relationship started, was him really just cheering me on. So when you're paired up with someone else who is creative, because he is, and who's been exposed to like the world and all these amazing people that I feel like have shaped him, you can become a really cool team, you know? So I feel like it was in there, but something had to bring it out. And I feel like Clay and the timing of all the things in our lives, the way that things lined up, brought that creativity out. So with Longbeard, I was working full time, Clay was traveling, and I still had two children at home. So he kind of commissioned a friend to help us with Longbeard. And we kind of put together a color palette, a theme, a vision board type thing. And our friend Heather Land helped us curate that. And she's amazing. If you know her or have ever been in her home, it's just very eclectic. And that's what we wanted. We wanted something cool that didn't feel like you were in Monroe, mm-hmm. you know? And we just said, if it doesn't turn out to be a great Airbnb, then we have a cool extension of this home, you know, which ended up later being our own home. So, that was fun. And we got to put the final touches really on that. And we move furniture all the time and we change things up. And then I think just the hospitality part of it is where I felt like we really zoned in on that first before we created our second Airbnb, which is where I think my confidence for creating something really was boosted because we did it all by ourselves. That one's called Monroe Mojave. It's like a little desert oasis. Y'all have to come stay in that one too.
Yes. Well, I get to see it. We haven't stayed in it, but I was like, it literally feels like we're in Cabo right now and we're in Monroe, Louisiana.
Yes. We're always like, you know, mission accomplished whenever somebody says that. So yeah, as far as hospitality goes, I didn't realize that so many things in my life through the years were really leading me to this point of hospitality being my life and even being a ministry. Like for us, we connect with so many people. We have so many meaningful conversations and we share our story with people that come through there. And I quit my corporate job a year and a half ago to focus on this full time. And there's just been so many opportunities where, you know, if I was still working a corporate job, I wouldn't be there for coffee on the porch or a boat ride at sunset to have these conversations with people. And so I realized that even my corporate job at Vantage Health Plan shaped me a lot for hospitality. And I think Clay even realizes that his career in the music industry has really shaped him for what we are doing together, which is creating cool spaces for people where we get really nerdy about making it so cool and touching all your senses so that you have like the best possible experience. But what that does for our city is, you know, if you come into our city and stay with us and we can give you a good experience and then tell you where all the great local things are, tell you about our city, all the history, the culture, then, you know, those guests leave Monroe and West Monroe feeling like, wow, that's a cool city.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, we're not against hotels at all or other Airbnbs, but if somebody comes through Monroe and they stay at a place that wasn't inspiring or wasn't clean or didn't smell good or feel good or whatever, they're going to leave like thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't matter to all people. Not everybody cares about an experience when they stay somewhere. They just need a place to lay their head. And we've had those people come through our spaces, but they leave and they're like, wow, I can't believe that was in Monroe.
Well, it's true. And you do, even if you say for a second, like you base, so many times we often like, for better, for worse, and sometimes for worse, we can make a judgment on something based off of like the 5 seconds we encountered it, you know, like the first few seconds. And I think that that's like the hard thing about like people who are celebrities, and some would put me in that category of like a famous person. And it's hard because you meet someone and, you know, you have this one encounter with them. And then that is the encounter they're going to take away and they're going to tell everyone that's who you are as a person. Oh, I met that person one time and they were blah, blah, blah. And there's this one person that commented on my Instagram and she like made it out to like make sure everyone knew that I was not who I said I was, because one time I was at the beach and I was with all my friends, and back in the day, this is before I was married, and I used to be like, if I was with all my friends, it would embarrass me when we would be out and people would freak out over who I was or like want to take a picture, because like, you know, you're with your friends and you're trying to be normal, and I was just like, it would just make me feel like, oh man, I don't want my friends to feel uncomfortable by this moment. And we were at a place where it's super like crowded, and so the buzz started going, and Sadie Rose, and you, everyone could just like kind of hear it. And I was trying to just kind of ignore it, like keep going, like no one had said anything. And then someone had said like Sadie or whatever, and I acted like I didn't hear them because I was just going to try to like ignore the moment, try to just keep the normalcy that I could and maintain this moment. And I do feel bad for ignoring it, but now you see the context of what that was coming from. Well, this girl would comment on every Instagram picture of mine for so long, just letting people know that I was so rude and that I ignored her and letting people know what I was really like. And I ended up DMing and being like, I'm so sorry that that was your experience with me, you know, because that really is not who I am.
Right.
But to your point, you know, people have one experience in Monroe and it might be a negative one. And then that's what that city was, for better or for worse. And so I do think like the intentionality behind, you know, that can go from hosting and how you present or just being who you are.
Right.
You know, it is important that you present yourself in such a way that makes people feel loved and special and all of those ways. And so in that particular story that I shared, I think it's important for the other person to have grace on you too and know that there are certain moments. But I love that you guys carry that. Like, I want to be a person that when you come here, you feel that love. You feel like it's a haven, like it's above and beyond. But what I love about your story is there's so many things I love about your story, but one of the things I love about it is it didn't actually start with this like gifting of like, oh, I'm so creative and I'm so good at interior design and I can make something look so cool. That was actually not it. Really, from what I heard, it was that love for hospitality and making people feel special and taken care of. And I think so many people in this day, it's like they desire to be like, to have that gifting, but they might not have the heart in the right place. And I think that it's so important that before you get into like what you're going to do, you establish why you're going to do it.
Right.
Because if you know the why, the what comes naturally. But if you only know the what and you don't have the why, then the what does not come naturally. It's a grind. It's a striving to get there. But man, if you know that why, it's like the what just follows. And, you know, when you told me about working at your corporate job Advantage, tell us a little bit about just that interview. Because I remember when you were telling me that you didn't think you were the girl for the job. If we're being real, eating healthy can just be hard. It can be complicated. It can take extra time or extra money. Eating healthy can definitely be a challenge, but Hungry Root makes it super easy. With Hungry Root, it's just going to send you fresh, quality groceries, and it's so simple, and it has the best easy meal ideas as well. It's like your personal grocery shopper for healthy eating. You can just take a fun, short quiz so that Hungry Root can get to know you and your personal goals, your preferences, and more. And then they're actually going to build you a personalized cart with all of your weekly grocery needs and give you recommendations on how to put all those goodies together. This honestly sounds like the best thing ever because you know what? It takes some work to fill up a grocery cart, doesn't it? And so for someone to do it for you and even tell you how to cook it is so great. Every order is totally customizable, so you can take Hungry Root's suggestion or choose whatever you want. They offer fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, sweets, smoothies, kid snacks, and so much more. We love Hungry Root. We started getting their boxes and the first time we did it, we let them choose for us, and we were pleasantly surprised because there were so many things that I probably wouldn't have naturally chosen just because I hadn't tried them before that we ended up loving, and it became a staple in our weekly boxes. And so definitely let them try it out for you if you are up for trying new things, or they have so much to choose from that you can pick from that you'll absolutely love. They even have a kids section as well, which is super helpful with the girls' snacks. Everything from Hungry Root follows one simple standard. It has to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients, so you can rest easy knowing that Hungry Root has done all the hard work for you. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Well That's Good podcast listeners 40% off your first delivery, and get this, free veggies for life. That's right. Go to hungryroot.com/woe to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/woe, and don't forget to use our link so that they know that we sent you there.
Actually, I was working for a CPA, which was, I had a couple of, well, let me back up. I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. I didn't finish college. To me at the time at 18, it was too hard to carry a full-time job and to go to school full-time, which I know is a really common thing for a lot of people. Like, I didn't really feel like I had it in me to get all that done, to like accomplish it. Again, I had very low, I think, self-esteem, and just I was very shy and like meek and quiet, and so a very chaotic like upbringing. So when I got married and ended up pregnant like a year and a half, I had my first baby after I got pregnant. I mean, after I got married, I stayed home for 10 years, and so I didn't finish college. And so I went through a divorce in 2008, and I was the lady that didn't have anything under her belt to like start a career, you know. But I made the choice to, you know, to go through the divorce and then just try to figure it out. So it's weird because I was probably the least likely person to say I can do this like on my own. But I didn't know what that was going to look like. So I had a couple of jobs, that were really great, but I didn't have benefits for me and my children. So I had a friend reach out to me, to let me know there was an opening at Vantage Health Plan. I had no idea what Vantage was. At the time, I remember seeing like all of these yard signs popping up around town with Affinity Health Group. Mm-hmm. And so Vantage was growing rapidly, and she was like, there's this position in human resources that I think you would be great for. And I was like, what's human resources, you know? So I knew that I loved people. I knew that I had a lot of life experience, but I didn't have a college education. I didn't have a degree in HR. And so I was like, I mean, I'll interview, but I'm probably not going to get the job. And the guy that interviewed me that ended up being my boss later, he also like knew my story and some of the history, you know, with my divorce and things like that. So I thought, he's not going to hire me. Like, I'm just not the one for the job. And I remember Brad Bertram telling me that, you know, there are people that can come in here with 5 degrees, but they don't have like the innate ability to connect with people, yeah, to love people like you do. And life experience sometimes can be more valuable than a college degree. And so not that college degrees aren't valuable. I think they're amazing. I think it's it tells that you can also stick with something and accomplish it. And I think it would have been really cool for me to do that one day, but I didn't. And so, I do want to say that, like, you can have a career without having gone through college, or you can be something without having graduated college. So yeah, whatever path you choose, like, it's okay. You can find something that you love and that you're passionate about. And so I just happened to be 40 years old when I realized, wow, this is what I was made for.
Yeah.
The way that Vantage Health Plan, the job there really shaped me in so many ways and connected me with some amazing people throughout the community. But I was able to really serve people and love on people through Vantage with, you know, 1,200 to, I don't know, 1,600 employees that we served. But as people would come through the doors, like to interview for jobs or to meet with our executives, I just had this like, I had this burning desire to make sure that they felt comfortable and they had everything they needed. If they were nervous, I wanted to chat with them and just like try to calm their nerves, because I was the girl sitting in the interview seat at one point. So I know what it feels like to, you know, to come in. And it's funny because I kind of felt like that today coming in to interview with you again. But sometimes if you don't know what to expect or you don't know what someone's going to ask you, like, you know, the nerves can be really crazy when you're interviewing for a job, yeah, especially if you really want the job.
Yeah.
So the servant's heart that I had and that I was able to like really, really, I guess, display in my job there, helped me to realize like how much I love, hospitality and serving people. And I wanted to do that full time. So for 5 years, we actually had Bayou Longbeard and I worked the corporate job. So there were nights at midnight where we were cleaning. We did all the cleaning ourselves for 5 years. We just enlisted somebody to help us. And it's still hard to delegate that out because I'm so picky about, mm-hmm, I want to make sure that it's a perfect experience for when our guests check in. And you have to really trust somebody else to make sure everything looks and feels the way that you want it to. So living next door does help. But I would sit at work at Vantage and think about how I could be home, you know, nesting or creating, you know, something else or, yeah, or getting ready for the next guest. And so I really had to decide like where I wanted to be, yeah, and where I wanted to like, you know, focus all my energy. And, yeah, and it was full-time hospitality with our short-term rentals.
Yeah. So. Well, it's so cool because I think about this, like, you know how everyone says like Taylor Swift is like the queen of Easter egg hunts. Like, you know, it's like the Easter eggs all throughout. I'm like, no, God is like king of Easter eggs, because you look back at your life and you see all of these little Easter eggs that like that is planted in your life. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm finding all these. Like when you look back and you think about you at Vantage and you're like, I'm not the person for the job, all this stuff, which kind of is a theme of like disqualifying, thinking like, oh, you know, I'm not creative, or I'm not the person for this job because you know me from this and you might right. think that, or I'm not going to get married because this and whatever. Right. And so many times, like, I'm not calling you out in a sense of you do this. We all do this. Right. Like, we all, like, so often, like, disqualify ourselves for the thing that God's, like, setting up for us. He's, like, setting this up. And actually, like, you are prepared for this because look at what you just came from. And so you're sitting here at Vantage thinking, like, I'm not the person for the job. You get the job. And you don't just do the job. You do the job well with purpose and passion. And you start to realize, like, you know what? I'm not just, like, sitting here at this desk. I'm going to make this, like, a welcoming space for people. And I want people to feel comfortable. And I want people to feel loved when they walk in this room. And I want people to feel prepared right. for what they're stepping into. And you cultivate this servant-heartedness and this hospitality mindset in this Vantage office. And, like, now you're doing that on a bigger scale with Airbnbs and hosting people in your home and making sure that they feel comfortable and they feel loved. And as you are talking to people there and preparing them for that, you're doing the same thing now. You're talking to people and having discussions. And so God, you know, every season, there's not a wasted one. Every season has its purpose. Every season, God is cultivating something in you. And that's why I don't like the term, like, oh, I'm in, like, a waiting season, you know. And I know we often use that, and there's nothing bad about using that term, but why I don't like it is because I think so many times when we think of waiting, like, think about, like, a waiting room before you go into, like, the doctor's office.
Yeah.
It's, like, purposeless, you know, right. it's useless. Like, you're sitting there and, like, you're just right. scrolling, you're reading some magazine that's from 2018 that right. has nothing to do with now. You're watching the TV, you know, you're waiting for the purpose of being there is the appointment. And I think sometimes we treat waiting seasons like that, like, oh, well, there's nothing really here for me. I'm just waiting until I get that break, or I'm just waiting until I get that job, or I'm waiting until I get married, or I'm waiting until I have kids. But, like, no, like, every season, there is something in that that I believe every day God is cultivating something in you that is making you become who you're going to be and who you're going to need to be for the next one. And so I just love that that time there was – it wasn't wasted. It wasn't waiting. It was preparing you for all that you're stepping into now. On the note of just making people feel comfortable and going the extra mile, you mentioned this a second ago, like, having coffee with people and going on boat rides. And that is an extra mile thing that y'all do for y'all's guests. Like, you make yourselves available if they want to, right. you know, be with y'all. And if not, you don't. I remember the first time we stood there, you're like, you won't even see us.
Yes.
And we didn't. But if there is a guest that's like, hey, we want to hang out. I know you've had moments like that. Are there any that you feel okay with sharing that you've been able to kind of speak into some guest lives?
Sure. There's always two that come to mind, like, really quickly when people ask us that. And I remember there was this lady, she booked, and she, you know, if you've ever booked an Airbnb, it prompts you to tell the host why you're coming, you know. And so a lot of times people will just say, you know, ball game or family reunion, or some people don't say anything. But as a host, I like to find out, like, really, what are you coming for? Is there anything that we can do extra for you? Can we make any local recommendations? And I remember this one lady in particular, we always offer a Bayou biscuit board and then a sunset cruise if the weather's permitting and we're home, you know. So I remember in my conversation with her back and forth, just on the Airbnb app, she was very just cut and dry. She didn't conversate a whole lot, and you could tell she didn't want to come and, like, visit with us, which is fine. We respect that. We will be very hands-on with you if you want us to be, but if not, you can just have your private space, and we respect that, and we'll make sure that we do everything to, like, protect that. So we knew that this lady was coming in for to visit her mom's grave, and so that immediately feels, like, very solemn, and, like, of course she's, you know, not there to make friends right. or whatever. But I remember later that night, I was cooking dinner, and she sent me a text message and said, can I take you up on that boat ride? Hmm. And we were like, sure, like, turn the oven off, like, let's go. So I remember Clay and I went out, got everything ready. She met us down there. We had this amazing conversation on the boat, and we got back up to the porch, and you know, we share a back porch with Bayou Longbeard. So there came a time where, like, we would go into our door and she would go into her door. And we just stood there and talked for, like, 30 more minutes. And we end up sitting on the couch, and it just turned into, like, a conversation until midnight, and she opened up a lot about some things with her children and the church, just some of the disappointment that she had had in the church. And so long story short, the next night she asked, could we do it again? And she's been back probably 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
She lives in Fayetteville. And we've gotten to be really good friends with her.
Wow.
We've helped her shop for real estate because she's from Monroe and she would love to have like a piece of property on the bayou. So that's one. And then we had this other couple come from, I think Austin, Texas, moving to North Carolina. And so because we're on the I-20 corridor, we get a lot of people, you know, that just need a like to break their trip up, you know? So these guys were there and, they actually took us up on the offer for a sunset dinner cruise. So I remember we set the table for them. And they were walking down the dock and they saw like everything we'd done for them and which we would do for any of our guests, you know, we'd treat them all the same way. That they just started crying. Like they were just so blown away that these strangers like loved them and did this for them and like opened their home and opened their schedule at night for them. So we had a really great conversation with them. Clay ended up on the porch with them later that night, talking more about just life. And, you know, there's so many, I mean, I should probably write them all down because there are so many. So I think that if you like continue to show up in a space like that and make yourself available, really cool things can happen. You know, God, timing is everything. And Clay and I saw that with our relationship. There's been so many moments where I was like, man, where were you at? Like, you know, 15 years ago or 10 years ago. But Clay says, you know, neither one of us were ready for this relationship with one another, and timing is everything. So there's just been some really cool moments where we feel like too, that that's just like our ministry. I mean, I think you can have a ministry of your life wherever you are, whether it's the grocery store, the doctor's office, with your friends or at church or whatever. Like for us, we feel like connecting with these people is what we're supposed to do. It's like it's our purpose right now. And so creating, making sure that everything is perfect for those people that come through is just, it's what we do. We love it.
You know, it's crazy how fast the girls are growing right now, especially Haven. 10 months, it is wild how much change happens and how much they grow. I'm constantly getting rid of clothes to fit her better. She's getting so tall. But one thing that we can rely on, you know, from the time they are newborn to their first birthday is the formula that we chose. A2 Platinum is an amazing formula that nourishes their body from newborn up until their first birthday. A2 Platinum is made from fresh, pure A2 milk, which comes from cows that naturally produce only the A2 protein. It's nutritionally complete with key ingredients that support growing babies and has everything that their tummies need in a clean, safe formula. As moms, we are all about safety for our kids, right? And well, feeding them formula, the best one, is definitely important. And I know that sometimes that's stressful and that's hard, but A2 Platinum is made with such high quality ingredients and safety is their top priority. They have a flawless record of zero recalls and even won the Clean Label Project's Purity Award, which is really significant. And I had to say, whenever I was, you know, choosing formulas, it was stressful, you know, which one's going to work. And it was extra stressful for us because Honey, like, would not, she didn't like formulas. Like, and also it made her tummy hurt. So even in the hospital when she was born, they had to like pump her little tummy after giving her the formula that the hospital provided because she just had a sensitive stomach. So right from the start, I was looking for, you know, the best quality formula because she was sensitive to other things. And so when we found A2 Platinum, it was so great because, I mean, truly the first time we gave it to Haven, she loved it. It is just a very well-made formula and has all the little things that are good for them. And with two sensitive tummies, they have responded so well to it. So trust me, you want to choose A2 Platinum for your little one. For a limited time, my listeners will all get 25% off your first purchase. And that's only available at my exclusive URL, a2platinum.com/woe. This is an amazing deal, especially for you moms buying a bunch of formulas. I know it's hard. It gets expensive. So here's 25% off. Don't wait. Go ahead and order now with the letter A, the number 2, platinum.com/woe, W-H-O-A. That's a2platinum.com/woe. And, you know, it's so cool that you touched on that. Just, it is a ministry. It is y'all's ministry. And hospitality is something that we are called to, I believe, as believers, as a church. I believe to welcome people in and sit at our table is something really important. And here's the thing about that, because so many of you hearing this might go, oh, one day, whenever I have enough money to have an Airbnb, then I'll be hospitable. Or, you know, whenever I have a great house or whatever. But, like, that's not what it's about. That's not what the heart of hospitality is. Can you speak to a little bit about that, just for those who are listening, who are like, okay, what does it look like for hospitality to be in my life when I don't have the resources that I would like to have,
right,
to bring people in?
So, yeah, I think back over the years where I would have, you know, not had the opportunity to curate a space like this or have the resources to curate a space like this. And I've thought about it a lot. And I remember back in 2019, I wrote a little post on Bayou Longbeard's Instagram page about hospitality and just how, like, we all can be hospitable. We all can invite people to have a seat at our table. You don't have to have a fancy tablescape or, you know, be an interior designer, which I don't credit myself for, but I am pretty proud of the spaces that we've created, or have a lot of money to, you know, lavish your guest with things or food or drinks or whatever. But you can just initiate simple invitations, you know, and whether that's like, hey, can we meet for coffee, or, you know, have a group of friends at your house, everybody bring something. Like, you don't have to have all of these resources to be hospitable. But I think creating small moments where you can love on people and, you know, just be in a space where conversations can happen with people that can be very meaningful and change people's lives. Just like with your team the other day, like we were meeting to talk about Low Sister Conference, and then we ended up talking about life. And, I always love sharing some of my experiences with anybody, but especially younger girls. And it's like, if you can prevent people from going through some of the things you went through, or help them, you know, come through things that they're going through. I think that, like you said earlier, all of our experiences are, like, they're meaningful because they've shaped us, and then they can help other people.
Yeah.
And that's what happened a lot of times in HR. Advantage is that I was able to share my story or encourage people who were going through similar things or hard things, whatever. So you can just initiate those moments in your life wherever you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to create an Airbnb to be a host.
It's
like, you can be a host wherever you are.
Yeah.
You can be a host in other people's homes, in other group settings. Like, you know what, if you have a passion for hospitality, jump up and help, like, see where you can help. Like, that's what I'm so passionate about. I'm so thankful that you chose to bring, you know, you chose to come back home, raise your family here, be with your family, and then bring the conference here. And so I want the city, you know, I want everybody to get behind you and support you. And that's why I feel passionate about, you know, like, what can I do with my gift and my skill set, to help this conference be everything it can be, you know?
It means so much. Yeah. And when she said that to me at coffee the other day, I was like, it makes me tear up, because, like, you even, like, hosting us and welcoming us back here, and then, like, helping us so much with the conference and everything. Like, I think ultimately, like, what it comes down to is this, like, every single person in the world wants to feel invited and wants to feel welcomed in and wants to feel loved when they're there. Everybody wants to feel that way. And if you're able to give people that feeling of feeling invited and feeling like they have a seat at the table and welcomed in your home or wherever the space is,
right?
It doesn't have, like you said, you don't even have to be at your house, in a room full of people who, right, you know, 90% of people feel awkward being in the room because it's just social awkwardness and intimidation. Like, just make that person feel loved and welcome. And that person was already invited. And, like, that goes such a long way. And I think that's, like, being a good host. Like, that is being hospitable. It's making people feel welcome. It's making people feel at home, in a sense of home, no matter where they're at. And you do that so well, whether I'm literally at your Airbnb or at coffee with you or in a meeting for a conference. Like, you see that thread throughout your entire life. And I was so excited to have this conversation, because I think that, like you said, everyone has a story. Everyone has their own set of ministry. And I love like having people on this couch for Sisters and Friends, that it's different than like the typical interviews that you would hear. It's real life, real stories, what you're doing on a regular basis. Not a normal job because it's different, but having a normal job and from that, like birthing this really cool thing. And like, I want you to see yourself in joy and understand that like wherever you are, no matter your story, God can use it to do significant things, big impact. She's making impact on every single person's life that steps into her home, and a huge impact in my life before I even had a conversation with her, just by letting her home be a haven for me. And so it's just amazing what you can do right where you're at if you actually do it for the glory of God. That's why I love that verse. Like whatever you do, do it as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. And I know you've used your story to help so many people, even with your divorce. Like you've told me about talking with several different young women who have stayed in the house, who are walking through that same thing, who are like, can we talk? And so just like making people feel welcome, telling your testimony. It says that the enemy's going to be defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And Jesus shed his blood. Now we got to share a testimony. And you do that so beautifully. Just to put a book into this incredible conversation, you started out by talking about Clay and y'all's relationship. You guys are a power team. You're a power couple. Y'all are amazing. It kind of shocks me when you say, it's always shocked me when you said you got married in 2018, because I'm like, what? I feel like y'all have been married like forever, just because of like the dynamic that y'all have. And you even said, you're like, I wish we knew each other 10 years ago or whatever, but like the timing is everything, and God makes all things work together for good. When you think about you and Clay and just the redemptive story, what do you want to share for people right now who have walked through messy things like divorce and hard things? Like, how have you seen God take something that was hard and work it together for good? Like, how has Clay been a part of that redemption story for you?
I love being able to share my story. I think it's important to, when you've walked through something like that, like not to place blame, to take responsibility for whatever it was that you might have played a part in or what you learned from it. And I think so many times when we walk through those hard times, especially like divorce, you're so broken and you don't feel like worthy of love again. You think you can never love again. And then if you're older and you have children, and you have baggage, as a lot of people call it, no one's going to want to marry you. Like, you know, I just got to a point where, Clay's actually my third marriage. And I just got to a point where I was like, you know, I don't want to walk through that again. I don't want my children to go through that again. So I'm just going to be in control and just say, I'm never going to get married again. Let's just call it that, you know? And as you can see, God has different plans in all of our lives. And so if you can just let go and trust God's plan, I think that beautiful things can happen. And so when I told Clay that I wouldn't get married again, I really didn't think that I would. Like, I really, really didn't. I thought, this guy's never going to get married. I can date, but, you know, it's just going to be very, like, shallow, I think. And he was already my Christian brother friend, so it was going to be comfortable. And I think that the way that Clay has loved me has helped me realize that even, like you said earlier, the things that you go through aren't without meaning and purpose in your life. And I just look at some of the hard things, you know, whether it's the mistakes I made or the things that have happened to me, as stepping stones to get to where I am. And they have shaped me. I mean, you can ask my friends and family, I'm definitely not the same person that I was, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. And with Clay coming in and knowing my history, my past, my baggage, and deciding like that he chooses to love me. One of the things that I told your girls the other day at coffee was, I'm a very emotional person. If you know me, I'm super sensitive. I'll cry at the drop of a hat. And have been like even chastised for that in the past in some of my relationships. Like, you cry so much, or you're so sensitive, or whatever. And when someone beats you down in an area of your life like that, that is just, it's like a part of who I am. Like, I feel like God made me an emotional person, you know, but what I didn't realize is that I think even like emotionally, I wasn't super stable because of some of the things that I'd gone through. So I remember telling Clay, like, early on in our dating relationship, when he would leave for tours, like, or when he would come to Monroe and see me and then leave, I would cry. I would just be like a 15-year-old girl who missed her boyfriend, yeah. you know? And, there was this one time where, I walked in and Clay had like 12 or 15 handkerchiefs laying out on the table. And I was just like, what is this? And he said, I just want you to know that, like, if you need to cry, I'm going to always have a handkerchief for you. Like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sensitive, be emotional. And I'll try not to cry right now. But just him, like, embracing that part of me and loving me, it's actually made me more emotionally stable. And it got to where I didn't cry as much when he would leave. And he was like, are you still going to miss me? Like, you don't cry like you used to. And I just feel stronger, but I'm just so thankful that he like embraced that part of me. And there's so many different things, that I could tell you about him, the way that he loves me. I've never been loved that way and, or this way. And I feel like that he is for sure my redemption story. And I think that a lot of women go through divorces and think that they can't be loved again or love again. And you can, you know, I spent about a year in between my second divorce and, dating Clay before, like, I really just spent that whole year focusing on being healthy and independent and just being a mom. And I think sometimes when you focus on that instead of like, you know, where's the next person, yeah. you know, I mean, even when we started dating, I think when you're younger, you date people like, with the intention of, you know, I'll marry them. And if I'm not going to marry them, then I'm not going to date them. You know, I mean, we even get taught that in church, like don't date somebody that you wouldn't yeah. marry. But as a 40-year-old, like I wasn't really thinking like that. Like I wasn't like nonchalantly dating, but like if I wanted to go on a date with somebody, like that's fine. I'm not thinking about marrying them.
Yeah.
It's more of just like a companionship yeah. or just having somebody to go to dinner with or do this or that with. And so it's a very different when you're older and you're dating. But I think if you focus on getting yourself healthy after yeah. Something really hard like that, you'd be surprised at really what God can do in your life
so
and who
true.
He can bring into your life. And for me, it was Clay Casey. And I'm just so thankful because he has enhanced my life a million times over. He's really special. If you don't know him, you should know him.
And so sweet. I love y'all so much. Y'all are the Aww. Best. And that's the most beautiful story, truly. I said to the girls listening to this and guys that if you're listening to this, I hope you see yourself in Joy. I see myself in you in so many different ways. And I was thinking about, I had been in a relationship before where I literally cried every day. It was a not very healthy relationship. And that person would always say, you're so sincere. You cry so much, you know, all this stuff. It was a bad thing. And what's funny is after that, then I went opposite. I'm like, I'm not going to cry. You know, I'm just going to be like a stone wall.
Right.
So then I didn't cry for a long time. And then when I met Christian, he was sensitive. Like he would cry at like sweet things and like sweet thing. Like he had a sweet emotion about him. And his mom does too. His mom is like the sweetest, like if she will cry with you, like she is the person who will like cry with you, hug you, hold you, do the whole thing. Like she will always shed a tear with you. And I just saw the beauty that they had surrounding like emotion. And Christian started to teach me that tears are such a good thing and they're so healing. And that yeah. the Bible even talks about tears, that God, that he knows the tears that fall from you, your eyes. And I just remember being like, wow, that is so beautiful. And then it's so cool because I began to like cry out of like sweet things. Like sweet things make me cry. Like
right.
I cry during worship all the time. I cry. I literally always, this is so funny, like championship games. Like when someone wins, I always cry. Like I'm so happy for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even have anyone that I know playing this game, but I'm crying with
just
you.
Wells emotion.
And it's like, I love it because it's like brought so much redemption to emotion in my life that like I cry in like appropriate times now. Like I cry when things are sweet and things are happy. And then I cry whenever like tears are meant to be shed. And like Christian's invited me into that, like the healthy side of emotion. And It's just really, really beautiful. And yeah, and I don't cry over the things that I used to be sensitive, like right. the negative things. I don't even feel the need to cry over yeah. that anymore. You know what
you
I mean?
You realize now that it was because of like...
It was because of the situation I was yeah, in. I was like, it's ironic that the person telling me I cry all the time is the one that's making me cry all the time. And yeah. now I'm in this healthy place. And I'm like, I'm not an emotional person. Right. Like, that's actually not who I am. That's who I'd become right. based from that relationship. But that's not really who I am. And then I got healthy as a person, met Christian, and he taught me even more the beauty of that. And so when I heard the handkerchief story, I was like, oh my gosh, you have to tell that story because, you know, these are just two women who experience a very similar thing. And I would not doubt that many of you listening to this podcast probably the same. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing some of the beautiful and redemptive side of it. And maybe that's something you haven't walked into yet. But let me tell you this, friend, you don't have to meet the man you're going to marry to find that redemption story. And you don't have to get the job that you're going to have to find that redemption story. That redemption story starts with Jesus and the relationship that we have with him. And really only Jesus can truly heal you in the way that you're longing to be healed. And then from that place, man, there's so much blessing to come. And he has so much that he's going to unfold, those Easter eggs you're going to get to come upon in your life. But first, start with that relationship with him. And from the overflow of that, man, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, even the hospitality that will flow out of your life will be so rewarding. And so thank you, Joy, for being on this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. And we will talk next time.